I'm not really prepared because there's no news, any news from Sweden now in Germany. And even if I look for English newspapers or so, it's almost nothing. So did there happen anything after the riots? We talked last was end of May, I think.
Well, I think that we shouldn't be that surprised about why you are not hearing anything, at least on the international scene. Of course, the sensational images, that's what the international media, and to an extent even the Swedish media, is interested in, of course. And you can never have any kind of resistance that keeps up that kind of intensity for long. What has happened since then, I would say that this whole incident has shown even more the arrogance and the self-righteousness of the Swedish establishment, you know, in the media and in politics.
For example, how can you see it?
Well, you know, I mean, if you make a comparison, you can compare what's going on in Turkey right now, where they have these protests that are sometimes violent. It actually started with the government wanting to build a shopping mall where there is currently a park. And the Swedish media calls it the Turkish Spring, and they're all for it. And if you look at what's happening in Brazil, when people are protesting, and it started with raised fares on public transportation, quite modest rates, actually, but the Swedish media is all for it. They say, oh, this is very positive, because they're protesting against the inequalities of the Brazilian society. So abroad, you see it as a critique against things going on in society, but when it happens in Sweden, we condemn the people and say, how can they be violent? How can they be this and that? So that's a form of arrogance because, I mean, the OECD report that came out of late showed that Sweden is one of the countries that has the most growing inequalities when it comes to income in the whole world. So why shouldn't poor Swedish people protest?
So the unrest just completely vanished after the end of May?
I would say that it subsided, but I will also say that I think that there was kind of a media consensus not to report on things. They were feeling that maybe by reporting incidents, they ignited incidents. You know, they thought that maybe that gave other people incentives to continue the protest. Where we are today, this is a month later, so of course I would say that now things are calm for the time being, because these things erupt from time to time in the marginalized Swedish suburbs, so this wasn't the first time, actually.
And the debate on this is still going on, or did it just vanish?
Well, no, it didn't vanish completely, I wouldn't say that, but the debate took an ugly turn. I mean, in the beginning, some people were saying, oh, look, we have a problem. But what happened is that we had this backlash where these people were condemned. And anyone who wanted to have a say in this debate had to start out by condemning the protesters. It was a prerequisite. And if you didn't do that, then you weren't allowed to be in the debate. You were branded as a kind of extremist. So there were very few organizations that were well anchored within this segment of society that actually represented these people. And many of those, you know, they refused to condemn these people, to start out by condemning them. They actually wanted to talk about the issues. So they were sidelined. They were marginalized totally. And I would say that the debate was hijacked by the people who are calling for rougher measures, more police, harder punishments, and generally saying that these are just spoiled people who are destroying their communities, are criminals and things of that nature. So let's imagine that someone has a criminal record. Does that mean that these people are not allowed to be engaged in protest? Does this mean that these people have no grievances? You see, if you look at the people who are protesting in Turkey or in Brazil, you know, some of these people have criminal records. Why don't they put that in the forefront? So in other countries, there are problems. In Sweden, there can't be no problems. We have this self-image that Sweden is still this progressive socialist project, and we want to get some kind of admiration from the rest of the world because of this, when it is no longer true. I mean, Sweden is part of the neoliberal consensus as the rest of the world, most of it. And what has happened is this has led to greater inequalities. So here you have the reactions to it. But instead of speaking about these social issues, we speak about people's criminal records and so on and so on. In Sweden, of course. But when it comes to other countries, we applaud people who protest, even violently. We call it the Turkish Spring and so on and so on. So it's just hypocrite.
So maybe the Swedish majority is still too easy on things?
They're very comfortable in their perception of Sweden as a country with no real social and economical conflicts. We have no such conflicts in Sweden because it's an equal society where everyone has the same chances. Like one thing that we have in Sweden is that we have this, you could call it, it's a proletariat of people of color. The racial overtones that are actually obvious in the Swedish situation, I mean, if you look at people who are poor, who are unemployed, and so on, you will find that these are people who are non-white, generally, or Eastern European, definitely. So when you have this in an Anglo-Saxon context or in the United States, people talk about racial inequalities. People talk about why are so many black males unemployed or in jail or, you know, victims of crime or whatever, whatever. When we have this same situation in Sweden, we talk about it as something that has to do with culture, language, or migration. Even though most of these people have been living in Sweden for decades. In Sweden, they prefer the kind of discussion that talks about negative attitudes. So we have some people who have prejudice and negative attitudes. And these people can be white or non-white, doesn't matter. And these people are abnormal, and these people should be treated. And then you've solved the problem with racism. So it doesn't matter that, for instance, me as an Afro-Swede, I live in a disadvantaged area and I am unemployed, whereas a white Swede could be very well off. If we just meet and we deal with our prejudice, then the white Swedish person can go back to his privileged life and the Afro-Swede can go back to his underprivileged life, and there are no problems. So that's the Swedish approach to these things.